Oh, start the music.
Animal.
Start the music.
Freaking animal. That's why we don't allow drinks in here, guys.
Hi, I'm Chick, and we're off the air. This shit just got real. Hi. Thank you for downloading the Off the Air podcast. My co-host Jess is here. You are absolutely not the co-host. My co-host Jess is here. She's out of the room for just a second. Our producer, as you can hear, is Jason. He's here. This is Vinny Testosterone and Kitty Cat on a keyboard. Very special off the air today. We'll get to that in a moment.
Starting off really well.
Starting off super duper well. To be honest, Jess is kind of tangled in her headphone cord right now. And I accidentally said my co-host, Jason.
Jay.
And he goes, ooh, I'm the co-host. I go, no.
That's exciting. So, sorry I missed the announcement.
That's fine.
You missed Kitty Cat and the keyboard.
But did I?
We were going to play, we got some Bob Schneider ready. But Jason is...
I'm boycotting.
Until we get our stuff?
Yeah, I think this is a ruse.
Has it been too long now? Has it been too long? It's been too long.
It's been a tease.
Yeah, maybe. I don't
know. I'm sure he's busy.
He's got a new album coming out. Burden of...
Proof.
Proof? Burden of Proof. Burden of Lies? Burden of Proof.
Is his face on the cover?
Sounds good. I think he should change it to that.
Is his face on the cover?
His face is
on the cover. He always has a different picture of...
He's a gorgeous man.
He's a beautiful man.
I wish I was half that good looking. Bob Schneider.
Me too.
Kidding me?
I mean, what?
Hello? What happened? What? Got a very special off the air. I know I say that every week. I need to say something. It's the boy who cried wolf now. But I like to think every off the air podcast is the next one.
We look forward to every one of them.
Is just so much better than the other one that we've done.
They're like children. You usually like the younger ones more.
Yeah.
Like your first try is, it's all right. And then the next one gets better. And progressively you like the other children more. No.
Really?
I think so. I'm the oldest. Sure. My parents hate me.
That's not true. That's not true at all. But it is true when you say something. But first child, oh my gosh, they take them home on a cloud. They, you know, the second child, they put them in the pantry. It really doesn't matter. Then the first child, a lot of pictures. Second child.
I think that is true.
That is true. Absolutely.
Well, I don't know. My brother's head was so big that they photographed it a lot.
They couldn't help the photograph.
Yeah, because half of it was always in the picture, even if he wasn't in the picture.
Did he invent the photo bomb?
Is that leaning over? Leaning over. Well, I can't wait any longer. Yeah, I'm beside myself, excited. Ladies and gentlemen, the one guest that 99% of our tweets are about, you've got to get this guy on, and we've flown him in at great expense. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Pardo is here today.
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
First of all, I'm very flattered by the excitement in the room. I really am. It means a lot. You know, you're a friend. I'm a fan and a friend of yours and your talents. To be here today without the other rigmarole it's comfortable,
isn't it?
I'm not stressed out. I might be able to finish a sentence. I mean, there's a lot that's happening here this morning.
By
morning, I don't know how to use a clock.
Because it's the afternoon.
Now listen.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome,
what
sir.
A joy.
Now, Jimmy comes with a story. He was in town after we did our second podcast.
Yeah, this was probably early August, I believe.
Yeah, I was at the, are we allowed to say the
sure.
city?
Oh,
I don't,
God,
I don't know
yes.
what rules yeah. apply
no
in this
rules.
Room.
There are no rules.
No rules.
You were in Indianapolis to do the Bob and Tom show, and you were at a comedy club,
and then I had to go to St. Louis the next day, but I had like 3 hours to kill, which I killed at the airport. But part of that's on me because I panic, like I'm not gonna get out of here. and then I heard, like, literally I'm at the airport and somebody emails me, hey, are you gonna be on Chick's podcast? I'm like, what the F? Chick's podcast?
No, Jimmy, it's what the fuck.
I
clean it up.
So so I didn't even know. So then I texted you and I said, hey, why did I do your podcast?
And I immediately, like, Jimmy, there's no other way to put this. I know I'm an adult, but I was scared. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to because I know how you are at the airports. And you were in and out, and you're a busy guy, and especially now when you do the live podcast in a different city on a Sunday night. You've got to zip right back to L.A. and get on Conan because
I've got to leave and get right back to show business. You know, all right, I'm done. I'm done with my character. Don't have to be on. This is real, right? That's the beauty of podcasting,
yeah,
and not radio.
You can just
it's
lean
real.
Back. You can Jess always eats on our episode.
Mm-hmm. You know, listeners love that.
She's actually
they do.
They actually. Can't be.
Yeah. There's a few loud ones that
they
don't care for, but
they look forward
general.
To what she's eating and telling us.
I don't
what
do
it is.
The whole time.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you know I've been doing a podcast now since 2006, and uh-huh. I would say the bulk of any negative emails, whether other than you know getting angry at our political views, which are usually just about me with people war because I don't really know anything about politics,
right?
Is all about you guys got to stop eating, got to stop with the munching.
Wait a minute, so you eat on your podcast?
Not anymore. I'm not going to get those emails. I've never spilled water in my entire life doing radio today. I spilled it like yeah. I'm just Johnny Klutz.
You come in and we go, we're going to introduce the podcast, Jimmy. Hang back for a little bit. And you go, okay, and immediately spills his water.
Okay, you know what I was doing? I was getting comfortable. I was leaning back.
That's right.
And then link bed, the water went down.
Right. So are you still out there doing stand-up?
Listen, I hit the road as much as I can. You know, I like to get out there and entertain the people. It's always good to see them. Thumbs
you're
down.
You're kind of the thumb down fart noise. You're kind of you're kind of one of the godfathers of the podcast. I mean, you had it because I remember you coming in going, yeah, I'm doing a podcast. And in my brain, I'm thinking, well, that's not going to last.
Well, listen, I remember I would come into this, the Bob and Tom organization, and Tom didn't want to talk about it because... for whatever reason, I didn't believe it was a real thing or something. I don't know why it wasn't allowed to be discussed, but you, in fairness, you would always try to ram it in. You know, Jimmy's doing this podcast now, and it was
okay,
very nice of you.
I'm concerned you're in your depiction of me, I sound like I'm going through puberty. Oh, Jimmy's doing a podcast.
You have headphones, you don't hear yourself? That's how you sound.
Really?
No.
No,
I love it. I love
it.
Listen, nothing better than driving through the Midwest and being able to pick this program up. And I'm serious about that. Now, listen. Yeah, I've been doing it. 2006, we started my podcast.
Now,
it'll be 7 years, yeah.
When back in 06, because we're sort of kind of a little, well, we are, not sort of. We are a little baby podcast.
A little baby.
And we're kind of having... growing pains, I guess, maybe a little bit sometimes.
What does that mean? What do you mean by growing pains?
Yeah, I would like to know what that
means.
Well, there's
that eating, certainly.
There's infighting, there's decision making.
Really?
As
there's
I told
no
them.
There's no fighting. That's Jason.
Jimmy.
Yeah?
I'm the leader.
We're in trouble.
Right?
You got problems.
We all know that. And... No, but how many, was it you and Matt back in the first podcast, or just you? Or?
No, Matt Belknap came to me and said, you know, he was just a fan. I wasn't friendly with him. I'm friendly, but it was like I was out
God,
with rude.
No, you can't be friends.
Get
with
out.
Fans.
No, you can't. By the way, let's put the wall up.
Yeah.
Show
exactly.
business.
Yeah. You don't walk through the crowd before you go on stage.
Oh, and the comic that does, get out of the fucking business. I'm serious. If you walk through and you want to see the fans before the show, you're not a real entertainer.
Yeah, no.
You know, you're not a cruise ship. Do your show. Stay behind the curtain.
That's right.
Go out.
Come
it's
out.
Magic.
It's an occasion.
Let that be the first time they see. You know, I'm going to bounce around. When I did, when I started day one of the Tonight Show with Mr. Conan O'Brien, back in the old days at late night, Conan would come out and Brian McCann would do the warm up, and then Conan would come out and do like 5 or 10 minutes with the audience before they taped.
Hmm.
And on the first test show of the Tonight Show, and the test shows are really for the cameramen and the crew. It's not about Conan doing another. He
right.
knows how to do it. He doesn't have to do
right.
a rehearsal.
Right.
And so I went out and did my nonsense, and then introduced Conan, who then came out, and the audience went crazy. And then when he came through the curtain, they went okay.
They went okay, yeah.
And
crazy,
so
okay, right.
He came up to me, truth be told, and I'd only known him a week at that point, maybe not even a week, 3 days. He said, what do you think if I don't come out? I go, that's exactly what you should. Do not come out.
Yeah.
Let the first time they see you be through that curtain. He goes, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
It's like going to the doctor. You never see the doctor somehow. They take you, you're in the waiting room, no doctor. They take you back to the exam room. No doctor. You're sitting in the exam room. No doctor. All of a sudden, poof, there's the doctor.
And you're relieved to see
and
him.
I'm
you're
relieved.
Excited to
I'm
see
happy.
Him.
I'm happy. I go crazy.
Right? You stand up. You give him a standing ovation.
Woo!
Right? You watch him do the string dance. It's a Conan reference.
And then when you're done, he goes, okay, get dressed.
And that's it.
And then you don't see him again.
That may, I'm going to go on record. That's the worst analogy of what I talked about. I would go,
yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
So here's the deal.
However, yes.
Yes, he was a fan, Matt Belknap. He said, and he would come to all my live shows at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles. And I was doing, you know, a non-televised talk show. And he said, hey, let's do a podcast. You know, he actually was doing one. He was doing a very dry Charlie Rose sort of, very interesting inside the comics mind sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I'd rather produce yours than host my own. And so I said, well, let's do one every other week, 20 minutes, no more than 20 minutes. Nobody wants to hear me for more than 20 minutes. And it'll be 10 minutes of me doing a blog, catching people up on my life, mm-hmm. and then I'll talk to a friend, a comedian will come in and we'll riff about current events or whatever. We sat down, Mike Schmidt was in there that day, my friend Mike Schmidt, one of the funniest men on the planet.
Not from the Phillies.
No, it is him. And I...
Incredibly funny. For
a lot of crying, I'll say that. A lot of crying, and I think Tommy Hanks taught us that day is not allowed in that game.
Yeah, that's true.
So I lasted about 2 minutes of talking about my own life. Mm-hmm. And then went into a panic and then brought Mike and Matt in immediately.
Right.
And the three of us just started bouncing off each other. And then Mike was there for 59 episodes. And I quote you when one time on the Bob and Tom program, Tom said, because I told the story of how I need Mike Schmidt was with us for 59 episodes. And episode 60 was the episode where we announced why Mike was leaving. And basically it was that I fired him from a free podcast. And so on the Bob and Tom show, Tom said, which one would you start with? And Chick goes, I'd start with that 60. I got to know what happened over there.
You start with 60.
And so to answer your question, that it was me, Matt, and Mike Schmidt for the first mm-hmm. 59 episodes.
And you still enjoy it? And there's video now, right?
We've been doing video for a few years. My brother-in-law, who has since passed away, was recording them. Mm-hmm. Was the video producer, and then a gentleman named Elliot has taken his place by default.
I get the feeling you wouldn't have hired him.
You know what? Nobody takes his job more seriously than this guy. He's great. He is great.
Okay.
He really is. He's really great. But the truth is, I don't think we'd be doing video. We were doing it. We were doing it because my brother-in-law Andrew. Thought it would be fun to do. So we said, yeah, let's do it. It's a radio show, but let's do video.
Right.
And then when he passed away, it kind of was
up in the air.
In his wishes to have Elliot replace him, and we honored that.
Oh, okay.
And so it's been great. People love it, and Elliot's a great guy, what's your question? Boring shit. God, my own voice.
No.
Now, you know what's ironic? Here's what's ironic about it.
I would love to hear something ironic.
I thought he had a sound effect or something, the way you pointed over.
No, wait, we don't do that.
I'd love to hear something ironic. Drop the ironic jingle. I now do the first 15 minutes without the guest. And so that's what's interesting.
Okay. It's all come back to
what I really initially envisioned the show being, where it's me rattling on and on, not unlike what I'm doing here, taking over your program.
That's fine.
Shut
that's
up. You're a guest. Okay.
That's not true. We don't. You can do whatever you want to.
I'm very uncomfortable with it. Go on.
Now, see,
question.
The beauty about the podcast, you know, anyone can do it.
Who is this?
You don't need
that. That's your co-host.
Oh, okay. No, that's the producer.
I know it is. I'm playing around with your callback.
Go ahead. Thanks for the momentum killer, Chick.
Okay.
You know, podcast, anyone can do it. You know, it's you're nationally syndicated immediately, mm-hmm. you know, as long as anyone can find you. But that's what I wondered. I thought you started. I'm just guessing here. I thought you started because you couldn't get a radio gig. Because I thought you could have done it, and it just didn't happen. You said, "Screw it, I'm doing a podcast."
No, you know what? I was between television jobs.
Okay.
And
well, wait a minute. When you say between TV jobs,
yeah, I didn't have one.
Well, I know, but
where'd you come from?
What is it?
What was your funny
it means money? It means I didn't have a job.
Yeah, I know, but you're,
what was
you're,
the previous
are you
job
calling
on TV?
Are you calling the funny money a TV show? TV show?
Why wouldn't I? It was on for 80 episodes. How dare you?
I'm kidding.
That was legit. That was two seasons of programming.
So how did it open, Funny Money?
Well, that's the game show where big laughs get you big bucks, then get you canceled. That's how.
Okay.
You know,
is that on DVD?
No, you know, Bud Friedman was getting sued. That's why we got yanked off the air.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's somebody, some guy came out of the woodwork saying that he mentioned to Bud Friedman once the concept of a game show that had a laugh meter. And they cannot prove that that didn't happen.
Okay.
So they had to, and we also were getting horrible ratings. So they not only pulled us off the air, new shows, they never showed reruns because this whole thing, like, they didn't want a lawsuit.
I'll be daggone.
Yeah, so I didn't even get to be on for, you know, because Game Show Network reruns things forever.
Yeah. Right.
So I didn't even get to live that life. We were on 80 and out. So that was it. So that's why I started this,
no,
this
because
podcast.
You had never aspired to be on the radio, did you?
I would have taken it in a heartbeat. Are you
really?
Kidding? To this day, I probably would. If somebody offered me a radio show, done.
An actual on-the-air radio
show
like the Bob and Tom Show.
Love it. Would love it.
Well, you certainly have the... wouldn't you agree? I mean, he sure, his appearances on the Bob and Tom Show are...
Mediocre.
I'm right here. Let's talk about... Let's have our post-show meeting when I'm gone. That's what post means.
Sorry.
When you see the taillights of my rental car, Buick LaCrosse, American made, then you start bad-mouthing me, Jess. Nothing but a fan of yours.
You know,
nothing
but supportive. Plenty of people that come through here who are comedians.
Wait a minute, hold it. I'm going to say, I don't care for your tone right now. You seem to be a little bit serious and wanting to ask stuff. Did you see his face?
Listen, I can't get mad at guys asking me a question. That gives me that's an opening for me to talk.
A compliment.
Yeah, how about, let's hear this compliment, then you go ahead and shit on.
Okay, fine. Fair enough.
No, there's plenty of people, you being one of them, that have been here and like, you know what, he should have his own show. A female example of that is Christina Pazinski. First time she was in, our guy Marty.
Well, they have a podcast. Yeah.
They do have a podcast, but same thing with you. Do you remember Marty? You used to see Marty all the time. He'd give you Chicago.
Yeah, I know
records.
Marty very well.
What
Beamer? Is it Marty Beamer? What's his last name?
Bender.
Bender, come on. Beamer's close.
Did he never say anything to you about you should be in radio?
Listen, I don't want to divulge confidential conversations, but I believe it was heading that way.
Okay.
And then something fell apart.
Okay.
But I would have done it in a heartbeat.
Okay.
I would, and then I would have to weigh, you know, we charge for my podcast. And
Yeah, we tried to do that.
You
initially,
who did Chick McGee
off the air? Yeah.
No, you can't do it. Listen, here's the thing about charging for a
Jimmy,
podcast.
Shut up for a second. Here's the thing.
I'm not Jason.
Damn right you're not.
No, we thought. I don't know what we thought, but we thought it's going to be fun.
I know what you thought.
What'd
you
we think?
Thought that you were going to get $1,000 a week for a podcast. That's what you thought.
You know, you've been kind of quiet up till now, and now all of a sudden. You're
maybe one day
exactly
you will.
Right.
Maybe one day you will.
No.
You can't come into it wanting to charge
99 cents an episode. It's
too much. I've heard.
Clearly. How many downloads did we have when we had 99 cents?
I don't think we're supposed to say anything about
numbers. I'm going to say, I think it was like 200.
The first rule of podcasting is you don't talk about the downloads.
Jimmy, here that we had like 200 downloads.
Wants to talk about
200 downloads at 99 cents a piece.
No, it was not 200.
Maybe
it wasn't that many.
I know the exact number, and it's not 200.
That's too high.
It was 98.
No, still too high.
Are you?
That can't be true.
87.
Wait, 87 people downloaded the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No. Download the second one. It was the second or third one.
Yeah, they definitely didn't download the first one.
Oh, if you heard the first one, it's me. It's awful. It's horrible. We just had that conversation.
You know what? Our first two episodes, I'll tell you this, we buried them. We did not release them. they went out live. They went out immediately. And then as we started getting good, it's like, get rid of those two. Those two are a mess.
Yeah,
and then they
one.
Were released as part of a package. Mm. And if you bought all of season one, you got the special bonus hidden
crappy
the first
one
two episodes.
Yeah, okay.
Which people are like, you know, hey, those were fun now that we know you. But here's the deal about charging. I was doing it for 2 years.
Right.
And was going to quit because nobody else was podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to Matt Belknap before, because I felt like I was doing cable access radio. Like I felt like a nerd doing ham radio in my basement and, you know, making sure the Russians aren't coming. So I felt foolish. I would ask people in Hollywood, hey, you want to do my podcast? What? And then I'd have to convince them that it was fun and entertaining. that it's basically radio on the internet.
Right.
And I got tired of feeling stupid. And so I said, let's start charging. And if X amount of people sign up, we keep doing it. If we don't make that number, we bail on it. And luckily, it was triple that number within 2 days that I wanted to do.
That's great.
So,
but we built up 2 years of an audience.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, listen, a lot of people, a lot of backlash, a lot of people, a lot of hate mail, a lot of how dare you, the internet should be free.
That's right. What we got.
How dare you?
I've never paid for a podcast in my life.
Well, now you can't. See, that's what I'm saying. The window that we started charging in was the perfect, we built up the audience. Hey, we're charging. Then here comes the comedy podcast boom.
Right. Right.
Mark Maron, Scott Aukerman, Adam was doing his because it was syndicated from his radio show, but Doug Benson, all these podcasts came in. So if I wanted to charge, Kevin Pollak he's example number one. He was doing it a long time. He waited too long to start charging, and he got punched in the mouth because of it.
I heard that, and I wasn't really sure of all the details.
So he went back to a free model.
So he goes back to a free one.
So anyway, I mean, I'll get off my soapbox, but that you can't charge.
Yeah,
it's I'm very lucky. And by the way, we're not growing. I say that openly. Our pay model is not. It's a plateau. We have our audience. Those are the people that are paying. And new people are like, nah, there's enough out there. I don't, you know.
Huh.
So good luck.
Well.
I'm amazed by that number, that 87. I'm amazed at that, mainly because, I mean, it's not like you don't have a daily place to promote it.
No. Yeah, we didn't promote it for a long time.
I see. Okay. Yeah. But now it's on the website and everything, right? Isn't it over there?
A little bit.
Your story about not being able to talk about your podcast because they didn't think it was real?
No, I don't. What happened?
It was sort of the same thing.
Yeah. But now I've heard it mentioned. I've heard it mentioned on the program.
Well, that's because I whined and cried and...
Rightfully so.
And threw a fit. Thank you.
I think if the band appearances can be plugged, why can't this?
That's exactly right. This is legitimate. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Sure. 87 people think so. 87 people are on board.
But then the next week it was free. How many? It was like almost.
We don't talk numbers.
Right. You don't talk numbers.
Is that true? Or are you just?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Thank you. Where were you a few weeks ago when he kept trying to yap? I beeped him.
He beeped him when he released.
Did you really?
I got beeped.
Yeah. There's something weird about it for some reason in this world of podcasting. I was talking about it with Chris Hardwick and Mark Maron in a powerhouse trio of podcasts.
Name driver.
Really? I didn't name one.
Hardwick was in a couple weeks ago, and he was very nice. Very nice young man.
Great guy.
Yeah. Really cool guy.
Great guy. Beautiful girlfriend.
And he's just... Go ahead.
Do I know him from Singled Out?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. He's done lots of stuff.
But
he just sold his podcast.
Uh-huh. No. He sold his Nerdist Industries.
Is it the whole Nerd...
Mm-hmm. He sold Nerdist Industries to Legacy.
So now podcasts are... They're like, not only would it be the off-the-air podcast, other people would be starting podcasts under that umbrella.
That's what Adam does, and that's what Scott Aukerman does over at Airwolf. I don't necessarily think you need a network.
That's what the internet's for.
Right? I mean, the internet's the network. I mean, I guess the premise is, hey, if we have 12 shows, we could show an advertiser those numbers, and then, you know, that person will Pepsi will advertise on all 12 instead of just, you know, off the air.
We sort of kind of got sucked into that meeting.
Yeah, we did.
And there was a meeting about having the podcast.
I don't know if this is podcast material.
Okay, never mind.
All right, let's talk about Jimmy.
Let's talk about Jimmy and the fact that he's got a cold. Go.
I have a sniffle.
Yeah, I do too.
Right nostril.
No, but he comes in.
It irritates the piss out of me.
He comes in and he goes, he starts coughing. First of all, I walk past the restroom. He goes, you got a place a guy could take a dump.
I did not say that. That is a sentence that would never come out of my mouth.
I don't think you would.
Because you're a gentleman.
I'm a gentleman, and I don't. You use the F word almost immediately upon this show going on the air.
That's what people want, is to hear him curse.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that F word.
Oh.
It was F A R T. And I hate that word.
Okay, a little backstory about me. Go.
Chick hates that word.
I hate the
word. Then why did you say it?
Because in comedy, because thumb down fart noise is what she says sometimes when she doesn't like something.
You know what? I
say pass gas.
So do I.
Did you have gas? That's what I say.
I say to my son, I go, did you just pass gas?
Yeah. And she's like, can't you say fart?
No, because it's awful. It's the worst word in the history. I'd rather be called the C word than called an F word. And wow. The day that my son, that other kids at his school, starts saying it, he comes home and says, "Daddy, I effed. I'm gonna pull him out of that school, and I'm gonna start homeschooling and raise him like a gentleman."
Aren't other kids the worst?
Other people's kids are the worst.
Yes.
Yeah.
I always remember this about my kids. Just darling children, well behaved. "Yes, father." When they were at home, went to school, literally the first day they come home from school.
New kid.
It's brand new kid. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happens. Uh-huh. Help me, Jason. What happens?
Mine haven't got there yet.
How old are yours?
11 and 9. Girls.
What do you mean they haven't got there yet? Mine's 5 and he's there.
His kids are perfect.
They are really not perfect.
Yes, they are. They're very
When's
sweet.
The last time you saw my kids?
Thumbs down, F noise. I stepped on a goal. I'm sorry.
No, Jason is pretty much I'm aspiring to be.
Oh, please.
Emotionally.
You are insane.
All right, never mind.
Oh, here it is. Here's the cough.
Yeah. So he comes out. So I walk past the bathroom. I hear this. I hear, he comes out. He goes, I've got it. This is my part of it.
Do you want a tea? Some honey? Like a lozenge?
No, I got water.
For now.
It's just a rattle. I got a rattle. I told these gentlemen off before you got here, just all of Los Angeles has this awful cough.
Yeah.
We didn't get really hit with the flu, but we somehow got hit with this cough.
A bad cough.
So we all have it. My son's had it for like 20-something days.
Really?
Yeah. And then we went
a kid cough.
Did you get that?
It's like the croup at 5.
Yeah.
And we brought him to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You know what? He's only halfway through it. You're going to get like another 10, 12 days out of this." Mother effort. That's a different effort.
Don't some kids cough dramatically and they don't really have to cough?
Yeah. I'm a substitute teacher, and there are children who will fake it.
Fake cough.
I mean, fake it to the death almost. Like, yeah. Like you've tried so hard.
They commit it. They commit it.
Really?
Yeah.
And they're going to look at me.
But what do they get out of it? What's the?
They think I'm going to send them to the nurse to get a cough drop.
Oh.
And then it becomes
And then they think it's candy? Or how old are they?
Anywhere from kindergarten to sixth grade.
Okay, through
well,
six.
Not sixth grade anymore.
Not any sixth. I did sixth grade Wednesday, and I'll never fucking do it again.
Why? What happened?
They're awful human beings.
How? They're 12 years old?
I don't know. They're all taller than me. I know that.
Well, are they really?
They're horrible people.
Inner city?
No. Small farm town. It was horrible.
Yeah, inbred. That sounds like inbred. Some inbreeding going on.
No.
So your California cough. It's a lot better than our cough, right? I mean,
it's richer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, certainly. I mean, it's a Los Angeles Hollywood cough.
Nicer cars.
We got nicer.
Did you get a new car? You look like you were going to say, "I got a new car."
No, I was going to say somebody else did. Then I realized that's probably not my place to talk about unless he talked about it when he was here.
Oh, who was here?
I can't. Listen, you
bullshit. Tell me.
No, I can't. This is awful. I apologize.
We're off the air, Jimmy. We're off the air.
Yeah.
We like him? We like him. If it's somebody we like, I can explain.
Yeah, but I don't know if this person wants it out there that he has a new car.
That he has a nice new car?
It's a
really nice car.
Is it a Mercedes?
A minimum $100,000 car.
That's nobody we know.
It's not anybody that's been on this podcast.
Has he been on? He hasn't been on the podcast.
I don't know who's on your podcast or who's not.
I'm glad you're a fan, Jimmy. Thanks.
How my show works for you.
$29.95 I ponied up for forget which season.
Then you overpaid because we don't charge that much.
$10 No, I got audio and video or whatever.
$24.95 Might be $99
You got to find hungry.
Might be $98
Well, eat your Cheetos. Okay. To hell with who was eating spaghetti?
Let's talk about it.
Dickless, that's right. You know, if I say something bad about someone that we've mentioned in the podcast, do they rewind to find out who we're talking about?
I don't know.
I bet they do, Jimmy.
I know one guy does.
No.
What are you talking about?
You keep telling us all these people and you can't say their name.
Oh, no. People will tell me, hey, you were mentioned on Pete Holmes' podcast. Well, damn, I got to listen to that episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll go through there like it's a Zapruder film trying to find out, what did he mean by that? Then I sent him an email. It's all awful.
Oh.
It's insecurities.
Constant.
Somebody told us you mentioned us on your podcast.
You're welcome. Is that true? Did I?
Yeah, I don't know.
Complimentary, I would imagine.
I hope.
No, here's the thing that Jimmy's doing. He's like, did I? I can't remember. And people who don't do what we do find that difficult to believe. because somebody will run into me at a grocery store. First of all, they like can't believe I'm at the grocery store, of course.
Yeah. Of course, right?
Of course.
He has a guy that goes for him.
Yeah. Right. And what was that? And
you guys going to wrestle? That was unnecessary.
I don't have a
aggression.
Guy. Who, oh, I thought you meant a guy who goes for me, like hits on me.
Goes to the grocery store for me. Oh, God.
So anyway.
That's a leap you just made, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my brain does that all
the time.
Do a lot
of people think you're gay?
I know one.
You.
I'm not gay.
Good for your life. I don't care if you are. Gives a shit.
Jimmy, no, seriously. I'm not.
Great. Live it. If you are, you are.
What was I saying? You were at the grocery store.
People don't. People can't believe
you're a pretty big deal. And they go, you're a pretty big deal. What was that you were talking about this morning about something, and then you mentioned an ostrich? And I look at him, and I have to say, I have no idea.
But you seem like such an asshole.
Then they get mad at you.
Yeah, then they get mad. Why do I seem like an asshole when I say that?
I think you just need to work on how you deliver it, because you go, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, that might be on you. That part of it might be on you.
Why is everything in my life on me?
Well, because it sounds you're not living in the right way.
No, just think of a kinder way to say it.
I'm
trying.
Yeah. You know what? I do this five days a week. And
four hours a day, and I don't remember anything.
And there's a lot of stuff. Yeah, but then you're telling
them they don't give a fuck. They just want their moment with you. Just say, oh, yes, the ostrich. And then it's over.
But if there's a follow-up, you're fucked.
Yeah, that's a...
So lying is better than being honest.
Always. No, you go, you know what? I don't remember exactly what that was. I forget things all the time. Yeah. And you make it, you know, you be endearing a bit.
Yeah, refresh my memory on that.
Yeah.
And then they're halfway through, you zone out, and then you pray to God they walk away.
None of you are helping me in my trying to be better. I don't...
No, that's helpful.
Did he just say that to the two of us?
Okay, maybe that was a misstatement entirely. It's just for
we
the
are going to wrestle, Jimmy.
I look forward to it. I was told this was a very special episode of this, so let's go. You know, as a younger man, I was and I still am. I think he's a good person and a good broadcaster. I was a huge fan of a gentleman out of Chicago named Steve Dahl.
Okay.
And I met Steve Dahl at an in-store once, mm-hmm. and I said, I made a callback to that morning show where, and I thought it was going to make me look like super fan. Like he's going to know I'm smarter than the rest of the dummies that listen to him.
Right.
And he had such a blank look on his face and it truly did. It made me mad. Like, how dare you deny me this interaction? But it would have been better had he gone, dude, I do 4 hours a day. I don't remember the one little thing that, you know, affected your life.
Right.
Which I now understand as a broadcaster myself.
Right.
When people come up and they'll go, Tiger Face. And I'll go, yeah, I don't, what the fuck does that mean? They go, don't you remember when you called Mike Siegel Johnny Tiger Face? No. So instead I go, oh yeah, refresh.
You know what I get now though is that so many, I've talked about this a lot, even on the Bob and Tom show, is that they start out with, hey, I know you don't like people coming up to talk to you. Which is good either, right? I mean, I'm in society. I want to interact. Mm-hmm. I'm a nice person.
Can I tell everybody your new favorite thing? When a minority comes up to him and is a fan, he loves it. Loves it.
And by minority, specifically, I mean anyone black. It excites me. It excites me very much.
Because you guys are a very white radio show.
I think so. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be. I want to be cool. I want to be hip. I want to be...
And you associate that with black people.
And I associate that with black people. Absolutely.
Because your dad was hip and cool, and he had a black girlfriend.
What? I mean,
if you really want to get back to it.
All of this is exactly true.
Yeah.
That's exactly true what she just said.
And she was the nicest woman you ever met.
She was the nicest, second nicest woman.
Oh, that's very well done.
Thank you. Very well played and absolutely the truth. But my point is, think about everything in society, music, art, sports.
Wait, art? I don't know about art.
What do you mean, like paintings and stuff?
Picasso's from the projects?
It's just they come up with the hip, fun, don't they?
Yes.
And by they, I mean them. Okay. I think we're clear on that.
Like,
The like, LA cough.
When we look how great it is. So much better than our cough. Like you felt we were really cool when we did we had Roy Wood.
Roy Wood Jr. Yeah. was
that was probably the coolest, hippest podcast we had done.
Hey, go fuck yourself.
You big fart.
Let me tell you something. I like Roy Wood Jr. You know what I do not care for? This true statement. Roy Wood Sr. Not a fan.
Not a fan.
And you're from Chicago, so you know him.
I don't.
You don't?
No, that's my go-to joke. Whenever somebody's a junior, I always talk about how I don't like the old man.
Really?
Yeah, like Sammy Davis Jr. I didn't care for senior. That's my go-to.
All right.
I totally bought it. Because that you guy is.
I'm a good actor.
He's a radio guy from Chicago.
Who is?
Roy Wood Sr.
Senior.
No, he's not.
Yes,
he worked with Don Cornelius, the Don Cornelius, and Cornelius tried to borrow money from Roy Wood Sr. to start to Soul Train.
Then what happened to Senior?
Senior said, give me my fucking money because this isn't going to go anywhere.
It went for like 6 months and he goes, look, I need my money. And Don Cornelius said, if you hang in there, it's going to be. And he goes, no, give me my money. So Roy said they couldn't even watch Soul Train. Couldn't say anything at all about it.
Well, how could you? The senior blew it.
They could only watch Solid Gold, right?
Ah! The great Marilyn McCoo. Right? Did Marilyn McCoo, she co-hosted with who?
Billy Davis Jr.
No, what? I don't think they co-hosted together, did
Denny
they?
Denny Terrio.
Didn't, who did she?
Solid Gold.
I want to say she, like they Billy D.
Billy D. Williams?
No. Wait, who was her husband?
Billy Davis Jr.
Yeah, it was Billy D.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about Senior?
Again, not a fan. No. Bill Davis Sr., no interest.
Oh, asshole.
That seems harsh. I mean, it's just a guy I didn't care for. I don't know if
was it too far? Too, too much? Far. Okay.
I mean, he's not a bad man. We're done?
No.
That dead air, I panic.
I can't believe, I'm so excited that you're doing our show.
Yes, we do. That we're just talking.
Should I not say that again?
No, he's just such a fan of yours. I don't want to ruin this for you, but
I always have been.
He never laughs harder than when you're around.
Well, listen, and I know it, and I appreciate it. I mean that sincerely. I know everything I say.
Oh,
I always joked that even at my wedding when I said I do, people laughed because it sounded sarcastic. Uh-huh. But I'm flattered and beyond belief.
You got a phone call?
No, it's...
it's time to eat.
Yeah, it just reminds me. I have an alarm every 3 hours to remind me to eat.
You haven't stopped eating. How is it? Why do you need some sort of alertation? That's not a word.
No, because some days I forget, and then my blood sugar goes down, and there you go.
I'm not going to make fun
of it.
Question here, Jason.
Let's put it this way. You know, let's say Chick was a quarterback, okay? Mm-hmm. And he was a young guy, and all of a sudden he got on a team... And with another quarterback who he looked up to. And all of a sudden, they're teammates, and he can learn from it. That's what's happening right here.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true.
Are you calling that bullshit?
I think it's ridiculous because the gentleman's been a broadcaster for 30 years. And to learn from this nonsense, to learn from...
No, what I'm saying is I admire the organic nature of your comedy.
But you have that, too.
But he hates him.
What?
But he hates him.
That's a strong word.
Well, listen, you think I'm thrilled with what I'm dealing with? You think I'm happy with this shell of a human being I'm nestled within?
Carting around?
Carting about? Think I like what I see in a mirror? As I got warts on my feet, I got epididymitis. The whole fucking world's ending.
Was that real?
Yeah.
What is that?
Epididymitis. I talk freely about it on my podcast.
Oh, it's
the award-winning Never Not Funny.
Yeah, it's your... go ahead.
It's the epididymis.
Yeah.
The epididymis is what delivers sperm. I'm going to get some of this wrong.
Okay.
What delivers sperm from your testicle to your Van Johnson.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I'm so hot.
That can't be what it's called. It's not called Van Johnson.
I think
Van's deference.
Vos deference.
Vos deference. Yeah. It's not Van Johnson. Terrific character actor, Van Johnson.
Going to be Van Johnson from now on, I can tell you that.
So yeah, I got an infection and it's chronic. It's not going away.
So you no antibiotics? No.
I was on Cipro for a record 40 days.
Oh.
Yeah.
So is it painful or is
yes.
Are you in pain right now?
I'm not in pain. You know what it is now? It's a dull pain. It's like a pain, like it's like my head knows it's happening every second. So I'm kind of going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's like this, it's always tender. So it's like, oh, painful, painful. But then if I turn the wrong way and the actual epididymis like rubs against Something, it hurts.
Oh, Jimmy. Can they do anything surgically? Like cut your Van Johnson off?
We are not. We are not 99. We are only 98% sure it's the epididymis. The 2% is keeping them from taking it out.
Could it be like a sexually transmitted disease?
I was a younger man who was fucking around, they said yes.
Really?
As it stands, we don't understand how I got it.
Huh.
So you're not going to go with those odds?
Would I?
The 98?
I would have taken, I even said to him, I said, I don't, take my ball, I'd take, whatever you need to do, get rid of this.
Yeah.
And he said, well, we wouldn't have to take your testicle out, that's crazy, we'll just get rid of the epididymis. I could do it. And he said, if I was 100% sure, we would have done it already. I'm like, I'm begging. In fact, when I go in for my next meeting, I call them meetings. When I go in for my next meeting, I'm gonna tell them.
Pitch.
Let's go.
It's a pitch.
I'm gonna go in, I got a pitch meeting. Hear me out.
Doctor.
Two guys. One's a patient, one's a doctor. Maybe that doctor's got some helpers. We put me under, you go in with a scalpel, and you take the son of a bitch out so this stops.
And I'm happy. Scene.
Right?
Bang.
Right. And then if he goes, even if he says, what if that's not it? I go, well, at least we know it's not that anymore.
No, right. I remember when you texted me about you were supposed to do the show that morning, and you were somewhere.
Oh, that was that was the initial epididymis.
How long ago was that?
That was March of 2011.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And I was supposed to come here, and I texted and said, I'm not going to make it on the show. I had to cancel a flight. I collapsed. This is a true story. I collapsed at the airport.
It was so painful. Yeah.
It was. They called our flight. Now boarding flight. You know, I'll make up a number. I don't know the exact flight. Yet.
Okay. Not adding
boarding flight to 2424. And I went, oh, that's me.
That's me.
Stood up and went, ah! and literally turned white, fell down. People had to rush to my aid.
Oh.
They escorted me into the Admiral's Club because I'm a member.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you want us to call a paramedic? What do you want to do? And I said, you know what? I'll just go to the emergency room. And so they, because it was a medical thing, who gives a shit? But that was March of 11, and it went away like that. They gave me antibiotics and it went away. Almost a year to the day later, it came back. And this is the one that will not go away since March. I've been dealing with it almost a year now.
Holy moly.
It's awful, since 2012.
So
awful.
What if the doctor says, no, I'm not going to do it?
I'm going to say.
Firing?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a fan of I want a second opinion, which I know is rule number one against medicine.
You're supposed to have a second
opinion. Give me one and I'm in. You know what
really?
I mean?
All right.
Yeah, if he would have said, we got to take your testicle out, I wouldn't even go, I want a second opinion. You know, done, take it out.
Your voice will get higher.
Great.
And you might be gay.
I'm in.
They messed up.
Whatever needs to happen to get rid of this pain.
Do you have pain medication?
I take what they call an anti-inflammatory.
Oh, yeah, that's no good. You need like some oxy.
I have that too, but you know what? It's got its own. Yeah, it's got its own problems, man.
Are you going to be able to be out on the road with the Bob and Tom comedy show every now and then? Or are you?
I spoke to the gentleman recently who is now taking that over. I understand.
Uh huh.
And I said, "Let's go."
That is exciting news.
I would do those every weekend.
Aren't those great?
Love them.
They're kind of sort of back. I've got one coming up in two in March and
do you really?
One in April.
Well, I'm going to have to talk to that gentleman then.
I think one of the March ones is Tommy Johnigan. What did I do?
Nothing.
Oh, but.
Go ahead.
What happened?
Nothing.
I know it. Yeah, I'll tell you.
We'll tell you off the air.
We'll tell you off the air.
Oh, geez. Oh boy.
No.
Oh, boy. What happened?
No, you're fine. It's not you. It's not you. It's them. Always remember this, Jimmy. Whatever happens, it's not you. It's other people.
You know who says that's not true? Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld says it's always the audience. If it's a bad show, it's always them. And you know who I disagree with? Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Sure.
Does he really say that?
Yeah, he's one of those guys that believes that it's your job to entertain, and if you don't, it's on you. I think, and the great Richard Lewis said it, and I agree with him, that you could only give your best, and if they don't match you, that's on them. You know, and I agree with that. I mean, I'm Lou Ferrigno. I give 110% every night. Jerry Seinfeld says that.
And you agree?
With Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah.
No.
I thought you just said if
I agree with Richard Lewis.
Oh, Richard Lewis
in that
said.
It's always the audience. If it's not a good show, it's their fault.
Jimmy, that can't be possible.
It is.
You do the same show regardless of what, and you get different reactions from different audiences.
Well, they're anywhere between a 9.5 and a 10 every night. I mean, listen, if a 9.5 is a miss, so be it. No, it's their fault. You know that.
I don't think
agree.
I agree with that.
Oh, you're so wrong. You're so
some
wrong.
Nights right now I'm not as good as I could be right this second.
Because I won't let you talk.
No, that's not true. I think I get mad when I start talking. I think
that's you're
listening. I'm a great listener.
You're a professional broadcaster. I don't like this routine that you're not good at this.
Go.
Okay, so mediocre comedian, your opinion of a guy, girl, whatever, mediocre, goes out and kills. The audience eats him up.
That's their fault.
Whose fault?
Audience.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
They're a dumb audience. If they like a mediocre comic who's doing hacky, come on.
Okay.
I kind of agree with that.
We were in Nashville and saw a comedian.
Yes, we were.
And, yep.
Louisville.
And we're sitting there and we took friends and this comedian comes out and Chick and I are
just
straight face. It was horrible.
From the get-go, he was horrible. Just annihilating.
Yes.
He's killing. People are in the aisles rolling around.
Right?
Yeah.
Dying laughing.
He's not funny, Jimmy.
And he has
not said one funny thing. I'm not saying anything about people in Louisville, but...
Well, you're saying something about that particular group.
That particular group.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
They could have been in the outlying Louisville area, but still...
Now, the gentleman you went to see, or the lady you went to see...
A gentleman.
Did that person also do well?
No, I don't think...
Not as well as this guy.
See what I'm saying?
That's not on him.
That's not on him. He went, and I'm guessing, did he phone it in?
No, I bet it's the same show he does every
night. Did he give up? Did it look like he was giving less than he would?
No.
Then that's not his fault, is it? It's them.
He's right.
It's them. Gosh. They're the enemy.
Oh, my God.
That's a battlefield. Yeah. You know it's love. Benatar taught us that. Love is a battlefield. You know how tall Pat Benatar is?
How?
Take a guess.
Just the size, about 5 feet.
No.
She's 5 feet tall.
She is?
But remember those videos as a much younger man?
Mm-hmm.
When she would come out in that one-piece tight suit, she looked 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
And so when I found out she's 5 feet, it's like she's just a little pixie in that little outfit.
She's a tiny
little. That little something, right?
She did have a little something.
A little calypso.
You see her in that, remember, was it Love in the Battlefield when she was in the cockpit talking on the radio?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember what video that is.
We're young. And she's singing into the mic, right? Is that the... Love is a battlefield.
She's great. Ever see her in concert?
No.
Phenomenal.
I would not go on a bet.
Really?
Really?
Phenomenal. Oh,
would you go
great.
To see Pat Benatar?
I would. Absolutely, I'd go see Pat.
I'm telling you to go.
Is she touring?
I can't.
She and her husband tour nonstop.
Okay.
She was just out with Journey recently.
She's always out with a nice package. Okay. Journey, okay, Lover Boy, that imbecile Ted Nugent might end up on a bill sometime. What did I do?
No, I'm right there with you. I mean, I like his music. But,
love it. Not recently. I mean, his songs are...
Stranglehold and that stuff's
Stranglehold,
iconic.
Top 10 songs of all time?
Iconic, absolutely. It starts and you go, oh my gosh, that's incredible. Oh. Really? You don't like Stranglehold?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
I don't know the song.
It is...
I bet I know it if we heard it, but I don't... Is that it, really?
Wow! Oh my God!
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you want to get high. Sometimes you want to get low.
In a stranglehold, baby.
I got news you're gonna die someday. I got news you never got to go. Damn it!
Yeah.
But then he starts chatting.
We should kill everything. And
I won't go see. I used to see him live every time he would come to Los Angeles. And he would always play a small venue because nobody gives a shit about Ted Nugent in 2013. But he goes up, he just starts talking about, hey, they were having a good show. Thank God there's no black people here. His drummer was black. Fucking idiot. But he said it. And by black people, he didn't say that word.
Are you serious?
Yeah, done. No. I'm out.
You walked out?
Yeah, we're done.
Good for you.
Pat Francis and I. Adios. After the show. But we... I got to see Stranglehold.
You've got your beliefs.
I got my beliefs.
But you're a reasonable man.
But I also got to hear that riff, man.
And I paid for these tickets.
I got to see him walk out, come out on a buffalo with a headdress at a rock and roll show. And then see him fake shoot it with an arrow.
Oh, God.
What am I doing?
But, that arrow comes out from the bullseye. He doesn't actually shoot that arrow, does he? Or maybe he does. I don't know.
I don't know what he does, because I don't know what kind of magic he works.
Yeah, that's true.
He stinks but music. But boy, that riff, that stranglehold. I saw him live one night. This was gorgeous, and I apologize if I'm repeating myself. Saw Ted Nugent one time. This is gorgeous, Chick. All I need you to say is yeah. You're the audience.
All right.
In fact, all three.
Okay.
You're the audience.
Okay. Got it.
I'm Ted Nugent. All right. It's and he's playing Cat Scratch Fever. Mm-hmm. All right, ready? And so I'm going to ask a question, and all you got to do is go yell yeah. All right, ready? And remember, you're thousands of people.
Right.
Okay.
So it's womp, womp, and he's just riffing. Womp, 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 womp. Oh, that sounds sexy. Womp, womp, oh, so sexy. Oh, that, oh, how's that sound? That sound good?
Yeah!
Bullshit, sounds great. Womp, womp, womp. Fucking awesome. Right? How do you... And then, here comes Racist. But how great is that?
And then here comes David Duke.
Is that right? And then he throws the hood on. But how do you not love that part?
Yeah.
Bullshit. Wow. He actually gives an audio Fonzie handshake. How are you? Whoa.
Right through the hair.
Right through the hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Wow.
Bullshit. Sounds great. Love it. Died.
What's the last concert you'd like? You go to the rock and roll shows. You love to go to the rock and roll.
Was the last show I saw? I think I saw The Fix was the last show
No kidding. They're out there still?
Outstanding.
Love The Fix.
Their last album, and I mean this, it just came out in 2012.
What?
Called Beautiful Friction.
I am writing that down.
Outstanding.
By the way, of all the physical properties, I think Friction, one of my favorites. Just the right amount of friction.
Well, this is beautiful friction. You're going to really like this then. If you're a friction guy, and I know you're a friction guy.
I am a friction guy.
You're going to love this thing.
I have a pen at friction. And I wave it around. Friction!
I may call my fantasy team Beautiful Friction this year.
Beautiful Friction.
I was the Onion AV Club interviewed me and asked me what my favorite things of 2012.
Oh, can you get me in there? Can you? I can't, but I
hear what you're saying. There's a gatekeeper, but they asked me, you know, what's the greatest thing you've heard this year? And I said, I didn't grow up being a Fix fan. I was not I was a casual Fix fan at best. But their new album is phenomenal. And then the next thing I know, The Fix is twittering. Thank you, Jimmy Pardo, for mentioning us. Isn't that nice?
That's got to be great.
It's nice for them.
They're not from here, though, are they? Are they American? I don't think they are.
You know what? They've got accents, but they don't. I think Cy Kernan, Cy Sir, I guess that's his name.
What do we know about that name? My gosh.
I don't like it. I know that. I think he lives in Los Angeles.
All right. Fair enough. You know what? Who else? If you think The Fix has a website?
Why, has GoDaddy got something to say about it? I didn't mean to step on it.
It is GoDaddy, yeah. It's time now to tell you about GoDaddy.com. They're fans of the Off the Air podcast, and if you're a fan, show them some love and go to GoDaddy. It's the world's largest provider. Let's say you've got a nagging cough.
And you've got a remedy. And you want to share it with the world.
Go to GoDaddy.com and set up your website. 55 million domain name registrations, over 10 million customers. Wouldn't you like to be one of those customers? Jess is a customer. She just got a renewal, didn't you?
I did.
Yep, there she did. Go to ChickMcGee.com, click on the GoDaddy banner, and they'll get your new domain name, only $4.95. And that's not all, Jimmy. A free one-page website, personalized email account, photo album, and much more. So enter the promo code McGee at checkout. Or go to chickmee.com, click on the GoDaddy banner, and you're all set. Show GoDaddy some love. Thank you very much. Should I say we're going to take a break and then we'll come back?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back with more Jimmy Pardo here.
Great!